Hare Krishna, I welcome everyone to Bhakti Sangha Chepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavananda Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 27th chapter, 3rd verse onwards. Hare Krishna Keshavananda Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much Prabhuji for joining and giving your valuable time and association this morning. We are very, very fortunate to have you on the call. Thank you. Please take over Prabhu.
Krishna, Hare Krishna. Okay, I'll just speak. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from 4th Canto, 27th chapter and 3rd verse. So this is, I'll just read the verse and then we'll do it. Tayopagudha parirapta kandharo raho anumantraira aprakrishta chetanaha nakalaramho bubudhve duratyayam devanisheti Ramada Parikraha. Translation proffered by Srila Prabhupada. Queen Puranjani. Oh, it's the same allegories going on. Queen Puranjani embraced the king, and the king also responded by embracing her shoulders. In this way, in a solitary place, they enjoyed joking words. Thus, the king Puranjan became very much captivated by his beautiful wife and deviated from his good sense. He forgot the passing days and night meant that his span of life was being reduced without profit. Purport. The word pramada in this verse, just let me read this verse again after reading the translation. Tayopagudaha parirabdha kandharo raho anumantrair apakrishta chetanaha. Yeah, Prabhupada writes, having degraded his consciousness, apakrishta chetana. Nakalaramho bubudhe doratyayam. He was not aware of passing of time. Deva nisheti, day and night. Pramada aparigraha. He was pramada by the woman. He was parigraha. He was captivated. Interesting, they are calling this woman as pramada. This is very interesting. First time I'm reading this word used for woman, pramada, because generally pramad means madness, and what do we understand by pramada? Pramada means who is a daughter of madness. That's how it goes. So they're calling woman as daughter of madness. I don't know what's happening there. Let's read what Prabhupada writes. The word pramada in this verse is very significant. A beautiful wife is certainly enlivening to a husband, but at the same time is a cause of degradation. The word pramada means enlivening as well as maddening. You see the same point, Prabhupada? It means both. Generally, a householder does not take passing of days and night very seriously. A person in ignorance takes it as usual course that days come and after days the nights come. This is the law of material nature, but a man in ignorance does not know that when the sun rises early in the morning, it begins to take away the balance of his life. Thus, day after day, the span of one's life is reduced, and forgetting the duty of human life, the foolish man simply remains in the company of his wife and enjoys her in secluded days. Such a condition is called apakrishta chetana, degraded consciousness. Human consciousness should be used for elevation to Krishna consciousness, but when a person is too much attracted to his wife and family affairs, he does not take Krishna consciousness very seriously. He thus becomes degraded, not knowing that he cannot buy back even a second of his life in return for millions of dollars. Greatest loss in life is passing time without understanding Krishna. Every moment of a life should be utilized properly, and the proper use of life is to increase devotional service to the Lord. Without devotional service to Lord, the activities of life become simply waste of time. Shamaye vekaivlam, simply by becoming dutiful, we do not make any profit in life. As confirmed, Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Swanishtitapam Sam Vishvaksena Kothasvena Kothedratiratim, Shramai Vaikevalam, 1 to 8, 1st canto, 2nd chapter, 8th verse. If after performing one's occupational duty very perfectly, one does not make progress in Krishna consciousness, it should be understood that he has simply wasted his time in valueless labor. It's a good verse. Okay, so I'll just speak on this. Let me offer this sense. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Shalaka Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paya. Okay, so Prabhupada writes directly, the word pramada in this verse is very significant. Pramada comes from the word pramad. The 10th offense in the chanting of the holy names is shrutvapi namahatmya me priti raito adama amamadi parmo sopi nama pratha pramadascha. That's the offense. Generally, translation of pramad is being inattentive while chanting. But in literal sense is madness. Because to be inattentive while chanting, you must be a mad person to do such a thing. Because a normal person, whenever he chants the holy names, he will be attracted towards holy name. Just like a magnet, iron is attracted towards magnet. Always. But a rusted iron is not attracted towards magnet. Similarly, a mad mind maddened by sense gratification, that is not attracted towards Lord Krishna's holy name. And due to lack of attraction, we experience inattentiveness while chanting. We all are experiencing inattentiveness. Nobody can claim on this conference call, or I mean to say most of the devotees, that we can chant attentively always. It never happens like that. Sometimes it's attentive, most times it's inattentive. Why our mind is inattentive? Because pramadascha. The word Sanskrit used for inattentive chanting is pramadascha, pramad. And the whole idea is inattention is born of madness. What kind of madness? There are different kinds of madness. Madness due to intoxication of liquor. Madness due to psychiatric problems. But this madness is different. A madness due to a love of boy and a girl, just like here, what's happening. But this madness is madness of sense gratification. Madness of sense gratification. What's that Lochan Das Thakur? He sings, Allo or Gallo, was that Samsare Podia? Samsare Podia Se Rase Madhya. I'm just forgetting. What's the last verse? Yeah. Rohile Padia, something like this. Yeah, Rohile Padia. Lochan Das Thakur says, anybody who is simply interested in this material world, Lochan Bole Sahi Papi Hai Lord. He is a sinful man. He simply comes and goes and wastes his time. That's all. So the whole point is, the word pramad means maddening. One of the meaning Prabhupada says. And the whole point is, inattention in chanting a holy name is to do madness. Madness means intoxication. Madness due to intoxication of sense gratification. Or in other words, attraction towards material world. That's where inattention is born. So anytime we feel we are not inattentive while chanting, the solution for this, temporary solution is to try to bring your mind back. But the permanent solution is try to work on yourself and see where you are not attentive and your emotions are getting attracted towards material. But somewhere you are letting loose your emotions. Somewhere or the other. That is while chanting or That is when you are not chanting, when actually the whole day you are passing by, some way of letting loose your emotions to this material world. You're lending your emotions to the material world. And that's why when you chant, when the time of chanting comes, you are inattentive. That's all. So Prabhupada says, a beautiful pipe is certainly enlivening to the husband. At the same time, is a cause of degradation. Prabhupada says, Pramad has another meaning, enlivening. Enlivening is also another meaning. Yeah, so that's okay. That's understood, because when you drink, you become enlivened initially. But if you keep on drinking, then you become mad and intoxicated. And then you start doing some bizarre things. That's why Pramad has both meanings. Initial stage is enlivening, but later it becomes maddening. So that's why Pramad has two words, two shades of meaning. This material world is like that. Initially it is full of happiness, but later it is actually full of miseries and actually can madden you. It can pull you down in mode of ignorance. One of the symptoms of mode of ignorance, Krishna says in Gita, is alasya, nidra, pramad. The three symptoms of mode of ignorance: laziness, sleep, and madness. Madness means you do such activities which you don't expect from yourself. That's maddening. Sometimes you do such things and then after doing you think, I did that. I can't imagine I did that. That is madness in ignorance. So when people drink, they do such bizarre things and later we tell them, you did this. They can't believe their ears. So that is why enlivening and madness, there are two meanings of Pramad. So Prabhupada says, a beautiful wife is like, that is why she is called Pramada. From the word Pramad, Pramada is born. It's like that. Da means if you put A behind, and that means it's born from that. Okay. That's daughter or a son. Just like for example, Pritha. Yeah. Prithu's daughter is Pritha. So Pramad daughter is Pramada. So that's the whole point. So beautiful wife is both enlivening to her husband and the cause of degradation. She can make the husband enlivened and she can also make the husband mad. That's the whole idea. For a king, and now Prabhupada says like that, because for a king, it is said in Dharma Shastras, queen is enlivening. That is why every king is supposed to marry, because behind every successful man, there is a woman. There is also a saying like that. A king needs a queen for emotional support. He is always surrounded by political problems, economic problems, social problems. And first of all, king cannot trust anybody. That's one of the rules in Shukracharya Niti. It is said king should not trust even his own people. King's duty should begin with mistrust and not with trust. And then he should act as if everybody is going to cheat him. And then he should act. So he needs some emotional support where he can place his trust and faith, and he can go and he can speak everything. He can share things. He needs a friend. But in a kingdom, for a king, there's no friend, because there are so many spies. There are so many people who are ready to kill him. That is why it is said in scriptures, the best friend of a king is queen. Queen is half part of king. Every king must marry and have a queen. And that's why you see Priyavrat Maharaj in Bhagavatam. You have been reading about Priyavrat Maharaj a long, so long time, just before these lectures, this topic. Priyavrat Maharaj, Brahmaji asked him to take the duty of a king, because his father, I think his, who was his father, Uttanpas or Manu? Yeah, Uttanpas, I think. He left for sannyas, and Swayambhu Manu was also somewhere else in forest. So they said there's no king. So, but Priyavrat Maharaj, he planned to become Brahmachari, and Brahma said, that's not good. Your Brahmachari is good. It's okay to become a celibate and a renounced person, but not at this time, because this time we need a king. Without a king, the whole world will go in chaos. And you are already trained in that. You are already son of a king. And you know things. So please come back and establish. But the whole problem was Priyavrat Maharaj could have become a take on the duty of a king, no problem. But the problem was he has to marry them. And that's when Narad Muni, he was there and he was really disturbed, because when Brahmaji came, just before that, he was preaching Priyavrat to become a celibate person. That's Narad Muni and Brahmaji, they have kind of relationship. So that way, beautiful wife is enlivening to a husband. That's okay. That's right. That's correct. Like Sitama, she was enlivening to Ram. Now, what kind of beautiful wife is enlivening to her husband? It's not just her beauty which enlivens the husband. Now, this kind of beauty we are not talking. Of course, her beauty, her looks, her charms enlivens the husband. That's why in Dharma Shastra it is said, one of the duty of wife is to always remain well dressed and well ornamented when a husband is present. That's Dharma Shastra. It's not that she's like the woman in the house. She's just like roaming in some gown with hairs open and no ornaments and nothing. This is modern life. And outside she's decorating herself and she's going outside and becoming so beautiful. It's just entirely the opposite. And the woman goes outside, according to scriptures it is said, she should keep a veil. Veil means ghumghat. She should keep, just like in Islam they put that. When a woman is going outside. And she should not decorate herself. Of course, I mean to say, if she's keeping a veil or she's keeping a ghumghat, then why she'll decorate herself? But when in the house, when the husband comes back from his work, she should be well-dressed and well-ornamented. In fact, it's a present generation is completely gone. But I heard from my grandmother, she used to tell my mother that then when the husband comes, you should be well-dressed and be well-prepared and greet him. So that after hard work of the day, when he comes and sees a beautiful wife, he becomes enlivened. That's all. Who doesn't become enlivened when you see something beautiful, you become enlivened. That's all. So that's one thing, a physical beauty. Physical beauty, that's one of the duties of wife. Wife should be like that. She should not remain ugly in a house and then keep on fighting with the husband, and husband is irritated. She's irritated, definitely irritated, because he doesn't find his wife beautiful. So what? Man should find woman beautiful. Otherwise, what's the point of staying with her? It's natural. It's spontaneous. So it's a physical beauty which enlivens the husband. But not just physical beauty. Scriptures also say that her mental beauty should also be along with physical beauty. Mental beauty, we mean her words, her thoughts, her character should be decent, shy, what Krishna says. These are the qualities of a woman: shyness and soft-spoken and like that. These are the qualities. And always serving the husband, never speaking back to the husband. These are all the qualities which Visitama had. That's why she was beautiful for Ram. She was enlivening for him. It comes in Valmiki Ramayana. Sita, Draupadi, Ahilya, Renuka, all these chaste women, all of them had all these, they were very beautiful physically and mentally. Kardama Muni, Devahuti, although by doing severe austerities, physically she was not appearing so beautiful. By the same time, by character, mentally she was very beautiful. She was always serving husband and not arguing back. In fact, in scriptures it is said, any woman who argues with a husband or answers back to the husband with the intention of arguing, not with the intention of discussing, but intention of arguing, she should be immediately abandoned. That's the rule in Dharma Shastra. She should be abandoned. There is no divorce in scripture. there is no divorce in scriptures, but there's a provision for abandoning the wife. He should abandon the wife. That's all. So that's why Prabhupada says a beautiful wife is certainly enlivening to the husband. Which kind of beautiful wife? She is physically and mentally beautiful. Who keeps herself physically beautiful by ornaments and by beautifying her body, and mentally. Mentally means by thoughts, by character, and by words. By the same time, Prabhupada says, it's a cause of degradation. Now, here's a point, here's a contradiction. If a beautiful wife is so enlivening to the husband, why she should become cause of destruction? Now here, Bhagavatam is trying to take us to a different level. According to Dharma Shastras, beautiful wife is enlivening. But when you go to a higher level, when you come to spiritual level, not just dharma, not just religion, now you come to adhyatma, spiritual level. Now you come to Upanishads. According to spiritual perspective, the same wife which is enlivening to husband, she's a trap and she's cause of degradation. And that's the whole Ramayana, by the way. Ramayana is based on this one line. Sukadeva Goswami says in Bhagavatam, Lord Ram wanted to teach how a beautiful wife becomes a trap for the husband and the cause of miseries. A person attached to a beautiful wife will always suffer. That's what Ram wanted to teach by his life. So Sita was beautiful, definitely. She was very enlivening to the husband, but she became the cause of destruction of Ram in the way he became completely broken and distressed. He had to go so many sufferings to get back Sita because he was attached to her. So how does a beautiful wife become cause of destruction? Because more the beautiful wife is, the more you become attached to her. And that's why you see Srila Prabhupada, when his father Gaur Mohande, he married Srila Prabhupada to a girl named Radha. Her name was Radha. And then Prabhupada's wife. So Gaur Mohande said to Prabhupada, to Abhay Charan, that you go and see the girl. And they went and saw the girl. And Prabhupada says, I don't like the girl. She's not beautiful. So I want to marry some beautiful female. Prabhupada's plan was interesting. Prabhupada's plan was to go to some foreign country and probably do law there and probably marry some foreign girl. You know, it's funny, isn't it? I mean, to say like an ordinary man who wants to marry some white skinned body, and I don't know how does it happen, but for a liberated soul, but it happens like that. That's quite a mystery. But Prabhupada wanted that. But Gaur Mohande, he said, well, it's good your wife is not beautiful because you'll not become attached to her. So the same object which is enlivening, the same object becomes cause of your destruction. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Anything which gives you happiness, immediate happiness, that will certainly be the cause of distress in the future. So it depends. According to Dharma Shastra, it's enlivening, but according to Upanishads, according to spiritual section of Vedas, it is cause of destruction. Because more the beauty, the more the attraction, the more the intoxication, in sense gratification, the less the attention on chanting of the holy names and on Lord Krishna. And forgetting Krishna, that's destruction. Remembering Krishna, that's creation, that's security, that's safety. Isn't it? So that's what Prabhupada says. The word pramada means enlivening as well as maddening. Anything which is enlivening in this material world, be sure that in future it will be mad. That's the rule there. Generally, a householder does not take passing of days and nights very seriously. That's why Prabhupada says, because he has a wife, beautiful wife, people attached to the wife. In fact, why people marry? Because of physical beauty, that's all. Nowadays, I mean to say, because otherwise he would have remained celibate. Because he can't control his senses and his lust, that's why people marry. One of the main point of marriage is, Umsam Sriya Mithuni Bhava Metha Teor Mithan, Teor Mithunam, Rishabhdev says, Grihavratanam, why are people marry? Because of this principle of sex and lust. So already you have lust, and Prabhupada says marriage is license for sex. That's clear. It's not pleasing to hear, but that's like that. Otherwise, if there was no sexual principle, then people would not have married at all. Krishna made it like that. In animals, in humans. So people marry, then they're involved in male and female, then they're bound together, not just physically, but emotionally they're bound together. They get attached to each other. And then they do not take passing of days and nights very seriously. Life goes on. That's household life. Grahavratanam, Rishabhdev says. Grahavratanam. They are attached to their household activities. They're just simply busy. Vrata means vow. They're simply busy. Sankalpa. They're simply busy. Vrata also means busy. They're simply busy in taking care of their household duties, children, and taking care of wife and other things. Now, this seems okay. I mean to say, every responsible person should take care of his wife and house and children. But there's a problem, Prabhupada, we mentioned later. You'll see, there's a problem there. It seems good. It seems okay. What's the problem with this? But there's a problem. And Prabhupada will come to that point. But before that, Prabhupada is just mentioning that they don't take passing of days and nights seriously. Life goes on and they're busy and busy and busy and busy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in that song, Utilo Aruna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Dine Gelo Goli, Hoybe Vesta. What's that? Dine Gelo Goli, Hoybe Vesta. Nidra Bashe, Ratri Nidra Bashe, something like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in the day, we are very busy fulfilling our household duties, and the night, we are busy in sleeping. And days and night go passes by. Person in ignorance, so the point is, what's the problem in that? What's the problem? It's good, days and nights are passing by. Time is going by, otherwise it's difficult to pass time. That's the whole idea. A person in ignorance takes it as usual course that days come. You see the point? Prabhupada makes a point. For ordinary man, if you tell your days and nights are passing by, you're busy in household activity, you'll say, so that's okay, that's nice, isn't it? I'm taking care of my house and children and wife, my duties, I'm a responsible man, I'm a responsible person of the society, and it's a usual course, this is life. And after days come, night come, and things go on, okay, that's okay, that's good, I'm busy. This is the law of nature. This is the law of material nature. Prabhupada says this is the law of material nature. This is how the society is made. And this kind of life is praised in Dharma Shastras. Yes, this is a responsible man who is taking care of everything. And in scriptures, this kind of person is praised, eulogized, and this kind of person is an ideal role model for the society. That's the Prabhupada says, this is a law of material nature. Law means dharma. This is how material world revolves around. This is dharma. Okay, good. No problem. But a man in ignorance does not know that when sun rises early in the morning, begins to take away the balance of his life. But after following this dharma, if a person gets association of devotees or saints, then he goes to next level. Then a new level of knowledge is open to him. And even those scriptures say that such kind of man is pious and will go to heavenly planets, and we should become such kind of person, a responsible mother, responsible father, responsible husband, so blah, blah, blah. And this is the aim of life. This is an Aryan, this ideal person. When you go to another level of knowledge, Upanishadic knowledge, spiritual knowledge, then things turn 360 degrees. And Upanishad says, well, that's okay, but with every day and night, your life is being reduced. What about that? Did you think about that? And you see, there is a point in this. If you read this whole purport, you will realize there's a point. The point is, spiritual life, elevation, in human consciousness, it goes in levels. First, second, third, fourth. And when you go to a higher level, the previous level is rejected. For example, you might have heard, for example, Karma Kanda section says yagya. You should do yagya. And yagya, why Vishnu? Yagya is Vishnu. It's clear. To satisfy Vishnu, you should do yagyas. But then, when you go to Upanishad, Upanishad says yagya hi plava, yagya plava adridha. The boat of yagya is unstable. Bhagavatam begins like that. Naimisharanya, all these rishis, they were doing yagyas. They took a vow to do yagya for 1,000 years. Their bodies became black due to doing yagyas, to smoke. But then, Sutta Goswami came and all these, they came and they said, well, you're not doing the right thing. Forget about this yagyas. You can't attend Vishnu like that. You should understand bhakti. You should go to next level. So you see scriptures work like that. Whatever is praised in scriptures, that is later rejected. So that's why there's a rule in scriptures. There is a prior teaching and there's a latter teaching. So the teachings which is given later, that is more important than the teachings which is given previously. So on the strength of later teachings, you can reject the previous teachings. Quran says, whatever is spoken later, if that contradicts with the statements which is said previously, accept the later statement, reject the previous statement. That's how it goes. So that's why, although Dharma Shastras praises household life, an enlivening wife, and a responsible man, Upanishads criticized because they can see the reality. So to go to the next level, you have to actually rewire your mind. That's the whole point there. That's what this verse is trying to tell us. Rewire your mind. What is enlivening? That's maddening. You have to rewire your mind. That's very difficult. That comes in devotion also. Vaidhi Bhakti and Raghunaga Bhakti. So in Vaidhi Bhakti, well, you have to follow rules and you have to fear offenses. You have to follow scriptures with a lot of attention so that you don't contradict and you don't break some rules of scriptures. So that's fear of offenses. Naturally in Vaidhi Bhakti it's like that. If you break a law, you break a rule, we think, okay, this is an offense or a sin, I should not do that. I should chant my 16 rounds because if I don't do, I promised and it will be a sin. And that fear inspires us. And that's okay. That's sadhana bhakti. The fear of following orders of guru, that's also comes in sadhana bhakti. That if it breaks, then what will happen? But if you have to go to next level of raganoga bhakti or bhava bhakti, you have to understand that with raga bhaya krodha, anything which is inspired by fear, that is not going to make you attain love. So bhakti inspired by fear of offenses and fear of breaking guru's order, that will not help you to attain love of God. You have to go to next level. So is this wrong to fear breaking rules and fear offenses? No, that's right. But if you have to go to next level, then you have to forget it. And then your bhakti should be inspired just by attachment to God and not just by fear. Fear should become secondary. So see, you have to actually rewire your mind. Whatever you practice whole life, you have to then rewire your mind. And that's very difficult. And that's why you need some guru or you need a living person who can actually elevate you to the next level. That's what it happens. The same thing is happening here, enlivening and maddening. So a person, and that's what we do in preaching. When we go in preaching, we tell to people, you see, you're leading life nicely. You're not bribing. You're not corrupting. You're not harming anybody, taking care of wife, children, and everything. But you're simply wasting your time. We tell them. And he's shocked. He says, come on, this is what I heard from my childhood. This is the best life. responsible man, responsible husband, this is the best thing. But we say, no, that's wrong. Because you're approaching death. That's the whole idea. So Prabhupada says, begins to take up a balance of his life. Thus, day after day, the span of one's life is reduced. So it is said in scriptures, every day is not your birthday. It is your death day. Every day is taking you near death, which is in fact fixed and destined. Nobody can change it. So Prabhupada says there, one's life is reduced, and forgetting the duty of human life, the foolish man simply remains in the company of his wife and enjoys her in a secluded place. This is what is material life. That's what happens. Household life is simply to try to please your wife, try to fulfill her demands. Most of your time is sucked up in that. Or maybe wife tries to fulfill demands of her husband, tries to please him. Or maybe both parents, husband and wife, are trying to fulfill demands of children. That's why time is getting wasted. Although we don't deny that you're a responsible wife, responsible husband, responsible parents, but what about the goal of life? Your time is being wasted. So what's the use of that kind of responsibility which wastes your time and doesn't allow you to do devotional service? Now here's the point there. Is this, are these statements applicable to devotees? That's the whole point there. Is this verse applicable to devotees? Okay, we can understand this verse is applicable to non-devotees. But is this statement applicable to devotees? Well, yeah, definitely. This is also applicable to devotees because as devotees, we are still conditioned. I have seen many devotee families whose wife complains that my husband is actually, she complains about her husband. That's why. That his senses are uncontrolled. Although he's a devotee and the wife is a devotee. They tell us. And this is not new devotees. These are like old timers. They say, my husband, he was good previously, but now his senses are completely uncontrolled. I'm also completely in anxiety and what to do. My devotion also going out. So, this is the fact. I'm speaking about devotees who are 30 years in the movement. Sometimes a husband says, my wife is completely out of sense control and what should I do? How should I do my devotion? So this is all for devotees also. We should take care. We should be careful. This is the bondage of this material world. Pumsam Sriya Mithuni Bhavamit. It's almost impossible to get out of the attachment of male and female, and especially in household life. So although we say we are devotees, we have devotee family, everything is for Krishna, but that doesn't really happen. And if you think that happens, many people preach like that you are devotees, everything is nice and you don't need to worry. But there's a lot of worry because we are not devotees yet. Some devotees said to Prabhupada, so if we are Vaishnavas, Prabhupada immediately cut him. Prabhupada said, we are not Vaishnavas. And you know, you see, you don't need scriptures for that. You just need to speak truth to yourself. Satyam Parandhima. If you speak true to yourself, and if you see within yourself, and don't cheat yourself, you will find that we all are completely attached to our family. And household life and lust and these things are bothering us. So then we should always remember that even as a devotee, we tend to waste so much time in household responsibilities. It is getting wasted. Now you might think that you are doing that. Okay, suppose if in household life, husband is a Vaishnava, children are Vaishnavas, everybody is devotee. So you might think this is a service to them. That's okay. That's definitely service to them. If they are Vaishnavas, you are serving them. But then you have to be in mood of a Vaishnava, not in the mood of a wife and a mother. Remember that. That should be very secondary. That doesn't happen. You are serving Vaishnavas, but at the same time, you are fighting with your husband. What's the point? If he's a Vaishnava, then how can you fight with him? Which is crazy. They're Vaishnavas and I'm serving them as Vaishnavas. Prabhu, isn't it devotional service? It is, but then how can you fight and how can you... that's Vaishnava offense. So, I'm saying it's very tricky. We are conditioned now. And we have to remember that we tend to become attached to our people. We tend to waste time in household duties to such an extent that then we waste time in seeing television, to go outside. I mean, we have to waste time sometimes. I mean to say, your children are not super sense controlled. Even if they are devotees, they'll say, I want to go and roam. I want to go to some park. I want to go to Disney World. I want to go to a movie. I want to go to here. And you have to take them, frankly. It's truth. I have seen many devotee Matajis. And no matter they are so big devotees, but then they sell to husband, we are getting bored. We want to go to shopping for mall. Please take us there. At least one movie we can see. Sometimes it's getting bored. Definitely it's going to happen. So you have to remember, even though it's a devotee family, household life tends to suck your time in irrelevant things. If you're serving your family as a devotee, that's very nice. But be careful, there are many other things which will suck your time in irrelevant things. Try to reduce it to as much as possible. Sometimes it's impossible because household life is mess. It's chaos. You can't help wasting time. It's impossible. But you can reduce it if you're careful. If you know this concept that household life sucks time and wastes time, if you have this idea in mind, then you will not waste. But if you have this idea in mind that everything I do in devotee family, that's devotion, then you will tend to waste of time and you will not even know that you're wasting time. So, foolish man simply remains in the company of his wife and enjoys in a secluded place. Secluded place means you understand what they mean. He simply enjoys the wife and wife enjoys the husband and people are out of control in Kali Yuga, that's all. People are simply out of control. No householder wants to talk about this subject. But it's right there in Bhagavatam. And if your senses are out of control, then forget about spirituality, especially in these kind of things. I mean to say, Mahaprabhu is saying, even a Vishay Tarang, even a small emotion of sense gratification is death. This is a big thing. Sexual principle with male and female simply destroy your consciousness. And that is why scriptures say, even for household Vaishnavas, they recommend take sannyas after some time. Or vanprast. Husband, wife leaves the house, stays in dham. And Prabhupada says, then they are no longer involved as husband and wife. The wife stays as maid servant to the husband. That's all. Vanprast and then sannyas. Then so many rishis, they took sannyas. Why? Their wives were like super duper advanced Vaishnavis. But they took sannyas. Why? Because they know it's a trap. It's such a condition is called aprakrish chetna, degraded consciousness. Then you will not be able to chant properly. Your mind will be fully messed up condition. That's why Prabhupada says, human consciousness should be used for elevation to Krishna consciousness. But when a person is too much attracted to his wife and family affairs, does not take Krishna consciousness very seriously. You see, Prabhupada makes his point. Krishna makes his point, Ati Asakta in Bhagavad Gita. I'm just forgetting what this. Ati Asakta. Bhogeshwarya Prasaktanam. Yeah. Thank you. So Krishna says Asakta. Krishna says, doesn't say attached. Krishna says too much attached. That's what Vaishnava householders should remember. Prabhupada mentions here, when a person is too much attracted to wife and family affairs, he does not take Krishna consciousness seriously. Prabhupada is writing this line for devotees, because Prabhupada assumes here that a person is practicing Krishna consciousness, this kind of person, but he's not taking it seriously. Prabhupada has come to the same question which I was talking. Is this verse applicable to devotees? Yes, Prabhupada is mentioning when a person is too much attached. So what do we mean by too much attached to wife and family affairs? Of course, certain kind of attachment is required and it's natural. That's okay. You're attached to your friends, you're attached to husband and children, you can't avoid attachment. But too much attached means you're always thinking about them and their needs. And in the process, you forget your devotional duties, and that's being hampered. You break rules of devotional service in the process of taking care of their needs. For example, children are there, and then you have to take care of children. They have to go to school. They have to make their breakfast and then get them ready. But in the process, then you say, oh, it's too much hectic. I will miss my mangalarti. I can't do. I'll do later. And then that's, you're too much attached to them. And you should plan. You should plan in such a way that you can do your mangalarti. You can do a short mangalarti, but do it. You can't break rules. You can't break rules of Krishna by making an excuse and following the rules of this material world. That's absurd. That's an offense. You can't do that. Where there is a will, there is a way. But the whole concept should be clear. If the concept is wrong, then your actions will be wrong. If your actions are wrong, then you get wrong reactions. So this whole idea that household life, if everybody's a devotee in grihastha, everything is nice, you don't have to be so careful, everything is devotion. Everything is not devotion, because we are conditioned. That's why that's too much attracted. Some attraction is required to take care. That's where Krishna made attraction. Otherwise, Krishna would not have made attraction. Why Krishna is foolish to trap us? No. Krishna made attraction for the body. Why? So that we take care of the body. If Krishna wouldn't have made this kind of attraction to the body, we would not have taken care of the body. We would have just be careless, like young boys do not take care of their shirt and pant and their dress. Simply throw here and there. Who cares for them? Who cares? Because it's very inconsequential for them. Or maybe just like you don't take care of somebody else's house. Somebody else's house goes to mess. Who takes care? Similarly, if we were not attracted towards our own body, we would have not taken care of it. We would have messed up this body. This body would have rotted, diseased, and get over and finished. And the mission of human life is gone, because this body is a machine. Yantra Rudani Maya. So we need to take care of our body. But then the whole idea is, if Krishna would not have made attraction to this body, then Krishna would have to take care of your body. Of course, now also Krishna is taking care. But Krishna has made such a system that you take care of your own things. You take care. Even animal will take care of his own body. That's why Krishna made pain. Krishna made attraction for this body. These are all gifts of God. But we should know how to use these gifts to serve Him. That's the whole point. That's why lust is not our enemy. Lust is a gift. If you have proper vision to see it. Because of lust, we are attracted to this body and we take care of this body. But when lust goes out of control, that is too much attachment. And then you are attracted to others' body and you're always thinking of others' body and their needs and cares, and you're too much thinking about your own body. That's too much attachment. Then you are misusing lust. And then problem begins. That's why Bhagavatam says, Jivasya Tattva Jigyasa Labho Jivetaya Bhata Kamasya Na Indriya Priti. I'm not saying this, Bhagavatam says. Lust is not for fulfilling your sense gratification. Lust should be used to keep your body healthy. That's the true use of this friend called as lust. So we should know how to make friends. We should not know how to make enemies. We are trained, we have trained ourselves to make everybody our enemy. So we have made these six enemies: lust, anger, greed. We have put enmity with them. We have not learned how to make friendship with them and use them in service of God. That's what not we are. So that's what Narottam Das Thakur says in his song. That's what Prabhupada says. Sthane sthane niyukt kari. Make them friends and use them. So yeah, attraction is good, but to a limit, not too much attached. That's the whole idea. So don't be too much attached to your family that in the process you forget following rules of devotion in simple sense. That is called too much attachment. Just like Bharat Maharaj, he became too much attached to the deer. Taking care of the deer, that was not so bad because that deer was about to drown and about to die. He saved his life. Any compassionate person should do that. If that kind of thing is happening in front of your eyes, you can't see anybody drowning. That's not attachment. That's cruelty. So he saved the deer. That's okay. He could have taken care of the deer, but he got too much attached. Why? How do we know he become too much attached? Because Bhagavatam says he forgot following his duties. That's how we know he become too much attached. So anytime if you find you're not following rules and regulations of devotion, and you are thinking, no, it's not practical, this is household life, then you better be sure, alarm should ring, you are becoming too much attached, too much attracted to your wife and your family affairs. That is the principle. That's what Bharat Maharaj, whole incidence is showing. What do you mean by too much attachment? He was forgetting his duties, he was forgetting his sadhana, he was forgetting the time of meditation. He just messed up everything. And that's, I mean to say, rishis had deers in their ashramas. We know from Valmiki Ramayana that was not unusual. Every rishi had deers. Valmiki Rishi had, Matanga Rishi had, Atri Rishi had. When Ram went, there were deers all around. And of course, and also in Bhagavatam it is said, deer are always found near the ashrama of rishis. That's auspicious sign. That's how people used to. And people used to go in forest, wherever they used to find deer, they used to understand that nearby there is an ashram of a rishi. So wherever they used to find too many deers, they used to think it's an ashram of rishi. And that's why this Marich, he took a form of a deer, golden deer, because deer and saints, they are sometimes... They go together. When Prabhupada was once walking, I think he was walking in America somewhere, so going for a morning walk, devotees saw that there were so many deers on the side and in the park came as Prabhupada was walking, and they were walking with him on the other side. And also it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, this black dotted antelope, deer is called antelope. They are generally found near the ashram of rishis because there is auspiciousness. So, Bharat Maharaj, yeah. To have a deer was not unusual, but the unusual part was he was too much attracted. And how do we know he was too much attracted to that deer? Just like we are too much attracted to wife and family affairs, is start breaking the rules. And to break the rules, you will have your own logic also. It's not that you will just break the rule, oh, I am too much attracted. No, your intelligence will give you a logic. And the logic will generally be based on practical concerns. Oh, this is practical concern of household life. And that's why you see the whole point, there's a misnomer there. Many people say that householder should take guidance from a householder and a brahmachari should take guidance from brahmachari. That's what they say, especially in America, that's it. In India also it's coming. Grihastha should take guidance from Grihastha, Brahmachari should take guidance from Brahmachari. It's absurd. How Grihastha can take guidance from Grihastha? Both are attached. Both are blind. How can they guide each other? Both are in a well. a grihastha should take guidance from brahmachari, senior brahmachari and sannyasi. That's a traditional method. That's not modern. This is a modern understanding. Traditionally, all grihastha would go to sannyasis and take guidance from them. You go to Madhva Sampradaya, you go to Sri Sampradaya, everybody goes to Swamiji. And Hare Krishna Sampradaya, yeah, no, it's okay. So they used to take guidance from them. That's all. The system of taking guidance of householders from householders, but that's not a good, that's okay, but that's not, it'll not help you much because Mahindi ne kehte Ram mila jodiye kandhe kodi. That's all. You will not develop renunciation at any point of time of life if you try to do that. That's okay, not bad, but that's not really elevating. A householder should always take in guidance from sannyasi or brahmachari who are renounced so that they cultivate renunciation in their heart. And of course, a brahmachari should always take guidance from sannyasi. That's of course. That is what scriptures say. That is what scripture says. Modern understanding, whatever it is. But modern understanding is not perfect. That doesn't help anybody. Because that's not the understanding of Krishna. Simple. So this is the purport. This purport is written by a sannyasi, Srila Prabhupada. Although he was a householder, but when he left his house, when he became a sannyasi, then he's writing this purport. So we are taking guidance from Swamiji, Swami Prabhupada. Writing, and he's writing to the point. He's writing there. Prabhupada says he does not take Krishna consciousness very seriously. Means he starts breaking his rules. Starts eating outside. Generally, householders, they say, oh, it's not practical. You have to eat outside, unoffered. If you start breaking rules, laws of material nature will not leave you. They don't consider whether who you are, your A, B, C, D, or. He thus becomes degraded, not knowing that he cannot buy back even a second of his life in return of millions of dollars. That's what Chanakya Pandit says. The most expensive thing in this material world is time. Don't waste time. The most expensive. And that's what we tend to waste. Simply keep wasting time, as if we have lots of time in our life, especially with this coronavirus and things going out of control. Still, the people are understanding. They don't have to waste time. Still, many devotees contact me and they say, Prabhuji, in this time, we don't have jobs, but now we are trying to, but we have started a business and it's going very nicely. Now we are trying to expand the business. Come on, have you gone mad or what? Things are going crazy. People are going to die and you're trying to say you're comfortable with your businesses. This is, you're mad, that's all. This, you have to be mad to speak like. This is not the spirit of Bhagavatam. This is not the spirit of Prabhupada. Let's forget Bhagavatam. Forget Bhagavatam. What Prabhupada says, that's important. He understands the spirit of Bhagavatam. The greatest loss in life is passing time without understanding Krishna. Every moment of our life should be utilized properly. Prabhupada says, should be utilized properly. Every moment. And the proper use of life is to increase devotional service to the Lord. So every moment we have to check and balance whether our devotional service is increasing, going down. There will be many temptations and you have to overcome them slowly and steadily with practice. It's difficult, but you have to keep your heart strong and overcome these things. Temptations without devotional service to Lord, activities of life become simply a waste of time. Shrama evai kevalam, Prabhupada quotes this verse. Shrama evai kevalam. Prabhupada says, any moment without devotion service waste of time. That's what Jiva Goswami says in Bhakti Sandarbha. Ordinary people's time is called Yamakal. Yamakal. Yam means death. But devotees, when a devotee is doing devotional service, his time is called Vishnukal. Yamakal reduces life, Vishnukal takes you to eternity and increases your life. Simply by becoming dutiful, Jesse Prabhupada is now making that point I was telling. Simply by becoming dutiful, we do not make any profit in life. You see the whole point? That's the point I was trying to tell you. Prabhupada exactly comes to this point, enlivening and maddening. Prabhupada says, simply by becoming dutiful, we don't make any profit in our life. So nice. So Prabhupada is actually, by this word pramada, the sense of duty is coming, because enlightening, the sense of maddening is also coming. You simply waste your life being attracted. So if by this line, Srila Prabhupada is cancelling all the dharma shastras. If they are not helping to help us increase devotional service. All the things we have learned is duty, responsibility. These are very nice words. And these are very adored words in this material world. People will praise you. Prabhupada says it doesn't make any profit. That's why Krishna says, Sar dharman paritajye mam ekam shatam vacha. Although there are so many talks of dharma, and it's so inciting, and it's so nice, it seems that it's very purifying. Krishna says, leave all that. Leave all that. Because ultimately it will make you impure. It will waste your time and not allow you to taste the nectar of devotional service. Taste eternality. You're missing your goal. It's a trap. Just as a sin is an obstacle in devotional service, piety is also an obstacle in devotional service. Both we have to get rid of. That's why Krishna says, Hardhan Paritajye Mame Kamshunam Raja Aham Tam Sarva Papebhyo. Krishna says, I will release you from all the sins. Why Krishna says, I will release you from all the sins? Why does Krishna says, I will release you from all the sins and all the pious activities? He says, simply sins. He doesn't say, I will release you from all the pious activities. So what Krishna wants to say, actually Krishna is clubbing pious and sin in this word, one word, pap. Sarva papebhyo. Sarva, he says sarva. All sinful reactions. He doesn't say, I'll release you from sinful reactions. All. According to Krishna, even pious actions are sinful. Even dharma is sin if it doesn't help in devotional service. It's a sin. That's why Krishna says, sarva papebhyo. I will make you free of all pious actions and all sinful actions. I'll do that. Don't worry about that. All pious actions which were actually devoid of devotional service. So Prabhupada says, Shramai Kevalam, it's simply a waste of time. That's why Bhagavatam, he quotes this for Dharma Swanishtrapam Sandishvaksena Pathasya. Nath Padetarati Ratim Shramai Kevalam. If you do everything and even if you follow Dharma Sonishtita Pumsam. Here dharma can be taken as ordinary dharma. If you follow ordinary dharma and it doesn't produce rati or attraction towards Krishna, it's waste. Here you can also take dharma as bhakti. Because just previous to this verse, that Savai Pumsam Paro Dharma, that verse is there. What is bhakti para dharma? So if you take dharma as bhakti, then this verse means even if you are doing bhakti and if it doesn't produce rati, if it doesn't produce attraction for Krishna, that's also shramayeva kevalam. It's also waste of endeavor. If you're chanting, if you're doing your Krishna consciousness, and at the end of the day, you find you don't have attraction for Krishna. You don't have attraction for chanting holy names. You don't have attraction for pastimes and form of Krishna. Well, you might say, I have attraction, Prabhuji, I have attraction. But then what level of attraction? That's the point. You can have attraction, a little attraction everybody has. A little attraction my grandmother also used to have when she used to see Ramayana and Krishna serial. Everybody has that. But we are talking about attraction here. We are talking about rati. We are talking about an attraction which is intense, just like sexual attraction. That kind of attraction we are talking about. That kind of, just like an attraction for taking breath. We'll die without breathing. That kind of attraction we're talking. Yamunacharya says attraction between a boy and a girl. That kind of intense attraction, if that is not produced, then you have followed the rules and regulations of bhakti. It's a waste in the sense you don't attain love of God. It will help you. Krishna says it will help you. It will go along with the next life. But as far as goal is concerned, you waste. So take care. I mean to say, in this life you can attain love of God. Prabhupada says many times. But Prabhupada says you have to take Krishna consciousness very seriously. Because to overcome a false and to overcome a conditioning, that is almost impossible if you are not serious. It's you take my words, you it's impossible. You take not my words, Krishna's words. Krishna says it's very difficult to overcome Maya. If Krishna says it's difficult, it has got to be very difficult. Krishna says Duratya, it's very difficult. Krishna doesn't say difficult. Krishna doesn't use words just in a poetry fashion. And we know many sannyasis fell down in history of ISKCON. Even now they have fallen down. Many great devotees, they fell down. They deviated from the, not ISKCON, all the institutions, Madhva, Shri. In history, so many rishis fell down. Rishis, they fell down. So don't we have to be serious even after seeing all these things? Shouldn't we become serious? Isn't quite sensible to become serious and to actually weed out our faults and obstacles and temptations and what all you have in your heart? I don't know. At least I have to work on myself. Time is less, by the way. Time is very less. That's why Prabhupada says, simply wasted his time in valuelessly. That's what happens. So be careful. This verse is applicable to both non-devotee and a devotee. If you look from different perspectives and take the message for yourself. It's not just for non-devotees. The message of Bhagavatam is for everyone. But for us, there's a message there. For non-devotees, there's a message. So use the message to advance and be careful and perfect your life before you die and leave this body. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody wants to ask anything?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the beautiful class, Prabhuji. I liked your determination part, that thing. But Prabhuji, whatever you described, I am not in that category at all today. So, in your knowledge, sorry?
No, but what do you mean? But I'm not in that category.
No, I mean, see, like my children want to go to park. I spend time, and sometimes yes, I get in that. You know, I forget that I have certain things. Sometimes morning Mangal Arati becomes evening Gaur Arati. We go to that extent once or twice in a month. That happens. That we get in that flow because it is summertime. We have to take children out. And then, we keep forgetting that, we have twice. I mean, I remember now in this past month, twice we forgot Mangal Arati. Then we did then it was our commitment, one Arati. So we did Gaur Arati. But, we get in that mood that, we want to keep children happy so much that, we forgot that. I mean, from your class, it really pained me that, yes, I did that. And I did that time. I didn't realize it that, it was that I forgot.
You but see continue.
So Prabhuji, now that you gave us a picture of a grihastha, an ideal grihastha sort of, do you know any ISKCON devotee who's at that level? Because, we want to learn from that person. I mean, I know a couple of them, but so many that I know, my seniors and all, they also get a little diverted a little.
Yeah, so you see the point. You don't need a family to an example for that. When Bhagavatam says, when Krishna says, that's enough. You follow. And it is possible. That's why these people are saying it is possible. If you try to follow, then there is a will, there is a way. Krishna will give you a way. That's all. So any ideal family, there might be some ideal family, but I have not met anyone yet. I personally have not met an ideal family who's not breaking rules or somebody. I mean to say with children, that's what I'm talking about. Without children. People do things. But then you become idol, no problem. If you have a concept in mind, Krishna will give you all strength, all way to do all these things. But the concept should be clear. Just like you're telling, you didn't realize that thing happened, but now you're hearing and you're realizing. It's It's possible. Previously, people used to do, actually not in ISKCON, but outside ISKCON, I have seen many ideal families with children. I mean, especially in Radharaman Parivar. There are many of my friends in Gopal Bhatt Goswami Parivar, Radharaman Goswami Parivar. And they are like almost perfect. They don't miss their aarti's. Impossible. They don't break any rules because they're born in that Goswami Parivar and they know they don't have to break. Even though they're living in America, there's one family living in America, Sri Vaishnav. And they're pakka in their things. They don't break. And if they follow rules, their children automatically understand after some time that my parents' first priority is puja. Just like Prabhupada said, that my father's priority was puja and his hobby was his job. Children can catch these things. Children understand. And then they adjust themselves to their parents rather than you adjusting to children. That's not how children should be raised. That's called pampering. And this whole idea of modern life, of pampering children, it spoils them. It takes them out of control. And that's why you see, parents also have to learn how to become parents. That's also scripture. That's also, Bhagavatam speaks about that. So I've seen that automatically that system happens. I've seen many families outside ISKCON with children, and they are doing everything nicely, excellently. Radharaman Parivar, when they're worshipping the deities morning, they do all the aartis. Morning, Shingar Aarti, Bhoga Aarti, Sandhya Aarti, then they make sleep their deities perfectly, and the children are going to school and everything is happening. And they're also giving time to them because they have created this kind of atmosphere. So after some time, everybody becomes accustomed to that. Okay, this is how my mother is like that. This time she'll be doing a puja, so we should get ready on our own. That happens like that. So children tend to dovetail themselves. Things fall. The point is how you live, that's how they will also start living like. They will start becoming, they will start molding as you behave. Not that you have to mold as they behave. That's a wrong thing because we have to guide them, not they have to guide you. So it's possible. It's possible. You can try like that and you see changes will come. You see people will understand that, okay, this is how the routine is. This is how we should be. That much I can tell.
Okay. Yeah. Prabhuji, thank you very much. I'm surely try, but since you have given a class, could you please bless me and everybody in the group that we try our best and, you know, we can always be in that Krishna conscious mood so that children also see that.
Krishna always has mercy. Prabhupada, if you read Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's mercy is always there. And if you try to follow, you always remember. That's much I can say.
No, thank you very much, Prabhuji. You made at least my day. I have something to look forward to application wise. Thank you very much. You're a very good speaker, Prabhuji. This is my first class that I'm hearing from you.
You are from where? You're speaking from where?
I'm from Pittsburgh, Prabhuji.
Oh, Pittsburgh. Okay.
So, thank you, thank you very, very much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhandavad Pranam. Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, you said that we should not think ourselves as a Vaishnava or a devotee. That is a wonderful point. But at the same time, while thinking of others, suppose I know my what wrong I am doing that does not align to a devotee, but I see others also to doing that. So while I consider myself not to be a devotee and considering the other person to be a devotee so that I do not commit Vaishnava for that, because in the first question, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that anybody who chants Hare Krishna, they become a devotee. So with that regulation, how do I, this, what you say, transcendental biasness, that considering myself for doing something wrong as a non-devotee.
You're correct in that. You see, we are trying to become devotees. Others are also trying to become devotees. If you ask us who is a devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva, Hanuman, Vrindavan Das Thakur says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that being a Vaishnava, that's a very big post and very big credit if you call yourself a Vaishnava, because then you're calling that you belong to God, and that's a very big thing. And Prabhupada also says that we are trying to, so everybody is trying to become Vaishnava. I mean, that's sure, because you can see people around you, they also have defects and they're also not perfect. So that's obvious. So you can't live in an illusory world that I'm trying to become Vaishnava, but everybody else is a perfect Vaishnava. But then they're doing their Leelas by doing faults. That's not a fault, but that's a Leela. Then you have to bring all this kind of word jugglery in your mind, and that will not sustain, because that's illusion. That's illusion. What is there, that is there. Okay, that person is not perfect. We understand. He's also trying to become Vaishnava. I'm also trying to become Vaishnava. Then what's my duty? My duty is to help him and pray for him and not condescend him and keep him enthused and myself enthused. Simple. That's all. It's all simple. There's no problem in that. But if we think I am trying to win Vaishnava and he is real Vaishnava, but then that's a problem, because after some time, when you will find faults in that person, and there'll be faults if he's not perfect, he'll do something wrong, then you will start doing offenses. On the other hand, then you will think, oh my God, I was thinking into a Vaishnava, but he's not a Vaishnava. What kind of person is this? So actually, if you think like this, that I'm trying to become Vaishnava and everybody else is Vaishnava, then you will fall into offenses. That's the whole point, because then your dreams will be broken and you'll be disappointed and it'll take you to the wrong path. But if you're in reality, okay, I'm trying to be Vaishnava, and even my seniors are trying to be Vaishnava, they also have their own pitfalls. They're also not perfect. Srila Prabhupada is perfect. So what's my duty? But they're more experienced than me. So let me learn from them, and whatever I can help them, serve them, I can do that. And both of us can advance. This is right. And in that sense, you will never become disappointed. If they do something wrong, you know, okay, fine. They're trying to become Vaishnava. That's okay. You'll not become disappointed. Your dreams will not be broken. You'll not be frustrated. Oh, I had trust in that person. I was thinking he is a pure devotee, but why, how come he's doing like that? Then there'll be so much problem in your life. And that's why many devotees, they become disappointed. And then they fight and they become frustrated. Then many devotees leave Krishna consciousness. I was thinking they are Vaishnavas, but then they turned out to be something else. Well, who said they were Vaishnavas? Everybody is trying to become Vaishnava. Prabhupada wrote a letter to one devotee. A devotee wrote to Prabhupada, I'm living in temple and there's so many devotees, but they're doing something wrong and politics, and I'm completely frustrated. And this Prabhupada replied to him. Prabhupada says, who said they're devotees? They're trying to become devotees, because you are an illusion. The result is illusion and frustration. Who said they're devotees? They're trying to become devotees and they have their own faults. You should recognize them. And they have their old defects. So help them, serve them, and then go along. Don't be in illusion. That's how the simple. Is it clear?
Yes, Prabhuji, so thank you. You always give a different perspective. And should we have this? But when it comes to Guru, of course, Srila Prabhupada, you said that for Guru also, we should think that Guru has no fault, right? That should be our...
Guru, we can't think he has fault. But at the same time, you see, one thing you have to remember, Guru doesn't have, of course, we can't think he has faults, otherwise that's crazy. But at the same time, you should remember that Guru is spiritually perfect, but might not be materially perfect. That has to be clear. Materially, he can commit mistakes. Because if suppose your Guru is not trained in flying helicopter, and if somebody gives you Guru to fly a helicopter, you'll not be able to fly. Or if he tries to fly, there'll be fault in that. Am I right? He's not trained. So you can't say, I thought my Guru is perfect. Materially, when it comes to material life, Gurus advise us by the experience. Most of the advice are very nice. Sometimes they don't work, because material world is itself complex. they might say something, but then the situations are something else. And maybe when they said that time it's applicable, but the situations turn so fast in this material world that then the advice is not applicable, things happen, something. So that you have to keep in mind. Spiritually, they are perfect. Materially, in this world, nobody is perfect, even Guru. Because just like Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada said to open Gurukul in Dallas, within the city. They opened, but then it landed into so much problem in the city. Devotees, children were, there was a lot of sexual abuse, and there were so many things. Then that Gurukul landed in court case. So was Prabhupada wrong? Is Prabhupada not perfect? Prabhupada is perfect. But when it comes to material decisions, the decisions sometimes might turn out to have not right consequences, because material world, you can't predict the situations. You cannot predict. It's impossible to predict. Things go wrong. This is the nature of material world. Everything tends to get destroyed. Yeah. So then, like Mayapur, we opened, Prabhupada said, open a temple. They opened a temple, big temple, but then Muslims attacked. There was bombing in the temple, and many devotees were injured, and two, three devotees had died. It was such a combat there. It was such an enviousness and Juhu, and such a case and all these things. So was Prabhupada's decision wrong? No. But materially, you have to understand, materially things can go wild at any time. Spiritually, they are perfect. So when it comes to material level, don't think that all their decisions will be perfect. That's impossible. Nobody's decisions can be perfect in this material world. You might say something, some things might turn something else. So because of the nature of this material world changes because of the nature of this material world. So that's why that thing, if you keep in mind, then it's okay. Otherwise, I've seen many devotees who ask their guru something and the guru tells something and then they follow and the things turn out something else and they sometimes experience big loss or something else happens and they said, "Oh, guru guided, not didn't guide properly. He said this, we did this." But then you have to understand this is material world. Guru is not God that he can know future and he can tell you do this and this will happen like this. Come on, he's just advising you by experience. So in material, why did you ask material problems to him, first of all? He's not a person to ask material problems. You ask some spiritual problems and adjust your material problems yourself, that's all. He can give you insight. He can give you some experience by some experience. Okay, if you do like this, this can happen. And in material problems, then you apply your common sense and situation wise and solve that. So yeah, do you get the point? That is a very important point to keep in mind. Otherwise, people reject their guru. People leave their guru because of all the... I have seen many, many devotees like... And then their faith is reduced. That's wrong.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the wonderful answers. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. I have a question from 18 chapter 66 verse, Sarva Dharman Paritajya. You have explained very nicely about the word Sarva Papebhyo. I never thought before that it includes also pious and impious, both activities which are entangling. And can you please give light on the word Sarva Dharman? Sarva Dharman, there are two words, Sarva Dharman and Sarva Papebhyo. Sarva Papebhyo you have explained, and Sarva Dharman, please explain a little bit. Because somebody can misuse this verse also by saying, okay, this thing is hindering my path on a devotional service. So let me just abandon my these duties. Maybe some Mataji can say, oh, I'm going to abandon this. Because Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Paritajya. So please enlighten this word.
Yeah, Sarva Dharman Paritajya means whatever is obstacle on the path of devotion, we have to abandon. Whatever religious duties, obstacle on the path of devotion, we should abandon. If it is hampering your devotion, abandon it. But the whole point is, we should always take guidance in that. That's why we need senior devotees. Whether we are abandoning due to considering as an obstacle, or out of laziness we abandon that duty, or maybe out of our own bias, enviousness, we abandon that duty. That has to be considered properly. So until unless we don't become mature, we should take guidance. That's why guidance is there. Otherwise, we will become confused and we will take erratic actions and the consequences will not be right. So yeah, Sardharan Paritache is there. The whole idea is follow your duties as much as you can in a way which makes you advance in devotional service. That's the art. Don't try to abandon first. Try to follow it in a way that it helps you to advance in Krishna consciousness, that it's favorable to Krishna consciousness. That's the best thing you can do. But Krishna says, if it is an obstacle, even after you trying it, trying to follow it, even if still it's an obstacle, again and again, then abandon. Otherwise, don't do that. So, but even then, you should ask, consult some senior, and then do it, that's all. But if you're mature enough, then you can take a decision yourself and do it. So that's the whole point. Sar Dharman Paritajye. Prabhupada writes in the commentary, here dharma means mental speculation. Prabhupada takes a different turn. Prabhupada says, here dharma means all the religious principles born of mental speculation. So of course, those kind of religious principles born of mental speculation, people have their own ideas, just abandon it. But Vedic dharma, you should follow. But even within Vedic dharma, which is not favorable to Krishna consciousness, you should abandon it. But first try to make it favorable. Follow in such a way that it's favorable to devotional service to as much as extent you can. But if simply it's impossible, then you should abandon. Otherwise, you can have problems in devotional life as well. So yeah, you need guidance to do that. Otherwise, it's difficult in initial stages.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Dharmat Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the beautiful class and nice question answer session.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any more questions for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dharmat Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a very wonderful class. So regarding the answer to one of the questions about grahasthas, you said that you found some grahasthas but out of ISKCON. So this is just intriguing that, you know, Srila Prabhupada gave us the most practical thing to follow. If in grahastha ashram, if we are not able to perfect our lives, I mean, inside ISKCON, it's a little discouraging. I mean, of course, Goswami families, and they're born, I mean, nothing to tell about any other sampradayas. They are doing a great job. But how is it that with such a practical application of philosophy?
Yeah, I can understand your point. I mean, to say, you see, why, although we have a most practical system and most evolved philosophy, still ISKCON devotees are finding it difficult to follow it ideally. Whereas other sampradayas, I mean to say, according to our perspective, their philosophical system is not as developed as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and neither they have such a practical guidance as we have through Srila Prabhupada from our perspective. But nevertheless, we find in ISKCON, we don't have so ideal grahasthas. In relative consideration to other sampradayas, always in a relative sense. But why it is? Because the whole point is not philosophy and not practical system is to be blamed. The whole point is the cultural upbringing. Because in other sampradayas, you see Sri Sampradaya, you know Sri Sampradaya, and even Goswami Sampradaya. Most of the families, they are very traditional families, and very cultured families are there in Sri Sampradaya. All of them, most of them. I mean to say, whatever remains now, most of them are outside somewhere and lost to this material world. But whoever are they are mostly traditional. Even Gopal Bhatt Goswami Paryavar, they are all Goswami Paryavars. They're cultured from beginning and they are trained from beginning. But in ISKCON, we have people from all walks of life. We are preaching movement, so there are people from all walks of life. Mostly uncultured people are there. Mostly city people are there who have no sense of culture, no sense of tradition. Absolutely no sense. I mean to say, look at us, look at me. I didn't know what is dharma, first of all. I have no idea what do you mean by, even respecting your parents. We respect it, but not in a way what they do. Puja, worship of God, that was out of question. We were just based on cartoons and bread rolls and all these things. That's all Campa Cola. That's all you all are, we all are. So such kind of people are coming. That's mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that such kind of people are coming to this movement. At the same time, there's a drawback that although the application and system and philosophy is so easy and so practical, the philosophy is so practical, but the application, it becomes difficult because people are not like that. If those people, they come to our movement, you see, it will be a different thing for them. They'll advance very, very quickly. So cultural background matters a lot. That matters a lot. Our wholesome skaras from beginning and cultural background and tradition. That's why I think it's so difficult in ISKCON. And that's why I've seen people, there are some Sri Vaishnavas and Madhvas who have taken to Krishna consciousness. In my knowledge, there are some families. So for them, devotion is so easy. And they're in ISKCON now. Yeah. Okay, now I remember. They're in ISKCON. They took to our philosophy and they are like ideal. They can't even think of missing aartis. It's impossible. In their mind is whole wired like that from beginning. They can't think of missing aartis. Their children cannot think of missing aartis. Their children cannot even think of eating something without offering to God. It's impossible. Of course, we don't find such kind of families now. Now everything is messed up. Even Sri Madhva, they're also watching internet and playing PUBG and in the mud. You see, that's a downfall. Even what to talk of them? Even Swamiji is playing PUBG. I know. Madhva Sampradaya. He's playing cricket and that's the Kali Yuga. So, but that's a difference. And that's why Prabhupada says, Varnashrama Dharma must be introduced. 50% of my job is left, Varnashrama Dharma. Prabhupada lamented in 1977 when he was leaving his body. When everybody was falling down around him in his ISKCON. And I think Srila Prabhupada was talking to Abhiram Prabhu. Yeah, Abhiram Prabhu, I talked to him in Denver. In New York. But at that time I was in Michigan. So he was saying, he was personally present when Prabhupada was there and he was massaging him. And then Prabhupada certainly told, my 50% of job is left. And then Abhiram Prabhu told, yeah, okay, so is it writing Srimad Bhagavatam? Or maybe some other books you have to translate? So, yeah, he was talking about some other books. Some other books are left. Prabhupada said, no, Prabhupada said, Varnashram. I didn't establish Varnashram. So then he asked Prabhupada, how will you do it? And what will you do? Prabhupada says, I will go to America and I'll sit in farmhouse and I will show them how to live on the land. That's what is Varnashrama. So, and how to bring the culture back. Culture. Cultural training has to be there. It supports. So, yeah, that's why we need now to bring back culture. Then it will be very easy. All these questions, you see, all these problems, basic problems are due to lack of culture and tradition. That's all. Otherwise, it's very easy to follow. This is whatever I'm talking. And if you think, if devotees think it's so hi-fi and, oh my God, it's so serious. Actually, it is what is an ordinary devotee should be doing. It's nothing advanced. Advancement is something else. Advancement, this is something very external I'm talking. which at least external we have to follow. Then we'll go internal. Otherwise, there's no question of going internal. So I think that's the whole problem there. I don't know. Isn't it? What do you feel about that?
Yeah, I agree, Prabhuji. But when we see the people who are following, especially Sri Vaishnava or Madhva, they are limited to a particular, vernacular people or people who are in culture, born in some, at least Brahmana or Kshatriya families, something like that. It's not widespread. Like ISKCON, which is due to the glory of Srila Prabhupada, that he was accepting anybody and everybody to take up this path. And as you say, because of the previous vasanas and the cultural lack of cultural upbringing in the childhood days, because of the materialistic, even though, we are born in Indian families, but still, TV was the deity. And, America was a destination, so that's how we were invited. So it makes sense that we are still trying to, but I was just thinking about that glory of Srila Prabhupada, that he opened it up, and it's up to us, like as you said, to take it seriously and practice.
I mean to say, Prabhupada moment is just begin. Prabhupada said it's going to remain for 10,000 years. Prabhupada says, now we have to boil down the milk. And now it's our duty. You see, it's a good question. Now, it's a good question because we have to recognize the root of the problem. And then we can help this woman. If we don't discuss all these things and we don't understand the root, where is the problem, we'll be doing some other solution. And that is not going to work. So, and Prabhupada, not just saw the solution, Prabhupada foresaw the solution. And that's why Prabhupada said, my 50% of job is left on ashrama. 50% is too much. Prabhupada didn't say 20%, 10%. Prabhupada knew that this practice of devotion, that's 50%. But then what will give the boost, at least in for householders, that's varnashrama dharma. Otherwise, it will be very difficult for them and they'll keep on struggling. Struggling with the basics, let me put it like that. And that's what is happening. Many devotees, they are seeing, and people aren't able to advance. And of course, preaching is also diluted now because of lack of culture and all these lack of training. We are not wired properly. Our tendency is to go to sense gratification and adjust things. And so things are getting diluted, things are getting wrong. Many devotees, there are many people, outside people, they're recognizing that we are not following Prabhupada. And there's an Oxford university professor, he wrote a whole book on ISKCON. And he wrote there that according to my estimation, I've traveled all over the world in all ISKCON centers, in all devotees, my analysis is they are not following their own founder Acharya. I mean to say, this is the point which has come to. People are seeing that. So what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to sit. What about others? Even we ourselves, let us look at ourselves. How much we are following. So why we are discussing all this? To condemn? No. To help. To help a patient, doctors should diagnose the disease. Otherwise, whatever medicine he'll give, it's not going to work. It will be adjustment, that's all. Just hit and trial. So this is the root problem now, what we are discussing now. And that, if you bring back the culture and traditional values, things will be very easy. That's all. Finish. So that's what we have to foresee in the future. And then the more we discuss, the more we can pinpoint the problems and then correct them. And then the movement will go on. So yeah, Prabhupada said, I've given you a plan. Now fill out the details. You fill out the details, Prabhupada said. So there's no lack in the system. There's no lack in Prabhupada teachings. Nothing. Everything is more than perfect. We are the problem now. In fact, ISKCON can save the entire world. But first of all, if we know how to save ourselves, our own people. And for that, these kind of discussions are required again and again. Bhagavatam, discussion on Bhagavatam is required in a true spirit. Otherwise, we'll lose the whole game. We'll not be able to help ourselves, neither others. We can keep on going. I mean to say, we can keep on going. You are keeping on going. I am also keeping on going. So many years. And we can keep on going for another 20 years and die. That's a big thing. But that doesn't help anybody, neither us, neither them. Nobody attains love of God. If people can't even follow basics, I've traveled all around the world. People can't even follow basics, householders. It's so difficult. So difficult. Although there are so much things. So without following, what theory will do? Tell me. What's going to happen? So yeah, so that's why in today's class I told all this something practical, you know, so that we can take care of this. Remember this. And if we remember all these things, then we have a desire to follow it properly. And then we don't break rules, because the norm now has changed in the institution. Many devotees, actually, I was there in Denver, and there was one devotee, one brahmachari. He was about to get married to some devotee girl, of course. So I asked him, "Are you getting married?" He was there in this movement for around 8-9 years as a brahmachari. I was telling, "You're getting married." He was telling me, I'm so fortunate to get a devotee, Vaishnavi girl. And I said, you're crazy, you're a fool. You're fortunate. You're a fool, you're falling down, that's all. He said, no, devotees are telling me you're so fortunate to marry a devotee girl or Vaishnavi. And I told him, you're crazy. This kind of, what is this kind of preaching? If you come to India, if you're marrying after Brahmachari Ashram, after 8-9 years, initially that's okay. Then it's a fall down. You're not actually upgrading yourself. But then he said, no, that kind of preaching is there. And then he told me, well, my marriage is fixed. Actually, today evening I'm going to get married. He told, but now, Prabhu, you're telling me, now I'm realizing, you know, I'm getting trapped. And even though it's a devotee girl, I'm getting trapped. Because after 9 years of Ramchand, but because it's a wrong preaching and I can't realize that I'm doing something wrong. You see the point there? So preaching matters. What kind of preaching you listen, it matters. That gives you strength to go in a particular direction. And I think that's also one of the reasons you're asking. One is culture, and another is the preaching modality, what is happening. Now you see there are so many types of preachers. Every preacher is nice and it's good. I mean to say, people are saying good things also. But sometimes things are going haywire and this. So the whole solution for this is to read Prabhupada books and speak from Prabhupada books. Then we will never be off the line. Because Prabhupada always brings us on the line. And if we preach without Prabhupada books and our own mind, our own logic. Logical preaching can be there, but logic is not always truth. Logic doesn't mean that everything logical is not truthful. So that's why Shastras, Prabhupada books, always stick to them, preach from them. The mode of presentation can be thought over, but the message should be as it is from Prabhupada books. Then we will be safe, others will be safe. People will advance. People will feel they're advancing. They will see a change in their life. Otherwise, things will go on and their life will not change. So I think these are the two factors. Now more we discuss. Some external factor, culture and all these things. Some internal factors. So we have to be, I mean, there's so many devotees, but we have to be sound in ourselves. And we should know what is right, what is wrong, what is partially right, what is partially wrong. And that will happen if we read Prabhupada books. In fact, many devotees even don't read Prabhupada books. That's there. I mean, they have not read Prabhupada books. they, I mean to say, they have not even heard Prabhupada books properly from a devotee. So then what do you expect? Books mean, I mean to say, other things also. Conversations and all those things. So things are quite bleak in that context. Otherwise, system is perfect. These are the lacunas, and that's okay. I mean, just any institution which begins, it's a 30 years, 40 years of institution. What do we expect? Sri Madhva, they have been for thousands of years. And so that's okay. That's okay. But we have to take it forward. So we should exactly know what's the problem. We have to diagnose the disease. And then we can rectify it. But if we shy away from diagnosing the disease and discussing because it's too complex, it's too heavy, it's too serious, then how can we help? We have to help the entire world and not just ourselves and some few congregation, 50 people. If that's the target, then okay. We can keep on going. But that's not our target. Our target is to help everyone in this world. If Krishna gives us the opportunity, but let us prepare ourselves and then leave it up to Krishna. So yeah, that's I can think of now.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your valuable time and association and patience for explaining all our questions. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Okay. So,
thank you, Prabhuji, once again for such a beautiful class. If there are no more questions, we can end the call here. I would like to offer obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpatarobhyasya Kripa Sindhu Pyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindaki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Keshwananda Prabhuji Ki Jai
Jai Krishna.